Let's take our Bibles tonight. We're going to be in Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. We're going to read one verse here, then read some verses in chapter 7. And so Joshua chapter 6. And the last couple Sunday nights, I've been preaching and helping our church as far as how to win battles against the devil. And kind of preparing us for the fact of what's probably and has and will happen as a result of our increased efforts to do things for the Lord. The fact that the devil is going to be there to oppose and try to keep us from discouraged and keep going forward for the Lord. And I want to preach another message to you tonight that will kind of help encourage us. And I want to preach to you on this subject, the aftermath of victory. The aftermath of victory. And I'll explain to you what that means here in just a minute. So Joshua chapter 6, if you find your place, stand with me. I'm just going to read a few verses if you're able to. And we're going to read the last verse of chapter 6 and then the first five verses of chapter 7. The scripture says, "So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Avon on the east, and side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate, even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted, and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord to eventide. And he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan." And let's pray. Lord, bless us tonight. Help us as we look through this lesson here in the Bible. And I pray that you'd speak to our hearts, Lord, and help us to learn some things. And Lord, we thank you for all you've done for us. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course, the book of Joshua is, as it begins, is a story as Israel, as they go in and begin to claim the promised land. And of course, as they, you know the story, they wandered in the wilderness in Egypt for 40 years because of their disobedience, because they would not go in and conquest the land that God said for them. They got their eyes on the circumstances and the eyes on the problems instead of claiming the promises of God. And I'm not preaching on that subject tonight, but let me just say this, church, all right? When God commands something, we don't need to be looking at the circumstances. We don't need to be looking at how hard it might be. We just need to focus on what God has told us to do. Amen? And so the people, because they refused to do that, God sent them back into the wilderness. And for 40 years, they wandered. And all that faithless generation, disobedient generation, died out in the wilderness because they refused to obey the commands of God. And so their children is this new generation that's risen up. And they finally get to the point where they're getting ready to enter into the promised land and begin their conquest and claiming the land God gave them. By the way, let me just say this. Amen. That land was given to them by God, and it is the land that belongs to Israel. It was always belonged to Israel, and I don't care what the nations are saying. I don't care what Iran's saying, Russia's saying. Nobody's going to take that land from the nation of Israel. Amen? And woe to any country who doesn't stand and back the nation of Israel. And I know our president's not perfect. I know he's a little rough around the edges, but I'm thankful that he's kept his promise, and here in just a couple weeks, he's moving our embassy to Jerusalem and claiming that as the capital of Israel. Amen? I want everybody to know this church stands for Israel. Amen? And I don't care what liberal Christianity's saying. I don't care what the world's saying. Listen, I know God's people are they don't even believe in Him for the most part. I know they're a wicked people, but they're still His people, and we're standing with them. Amen? And so God gave them that land, and it still belongs to them to this day. And so they begin entering the land. And you know the story. The first city they came to is that famed city of Jericho. And what is Jericho? Well, because it's the main city coming in, it has high walls that surround it. Historians tell us that the walls of Jericho were so thick that they could have chariot races along the top of them because they were so thick and wide. I mean, this city was literally impregnable. No one could come into this city unless you wanted to be in this city, okay? High defense city. And God had an unusual plan for the walls to come down. All right, you know the story. We could go back it up and read, but God commanded them for 7 days to march around the city. The first day, march around one time, don't say a word. Okay? Do it again. Finally, on the seventh day, they marched around seven times, the trumpets blew, and God brought the walls down. Okay? And they went in, and they conquered Jericho. Let me say, that was a massive victory for Israel. That was the first battle that this new generation fought. That's the first time that with their own eyes, they had heard the stories about what God had done. Now they're seeing it. Now they're experiencing God working in their behalf. Let me tell you something. That was a victory. Amen? It was the first for that generation. It's something they prepared for. They worked hard for. And something special God gave them. Amen? Now, I'm thankful that God still gives us victories today. Aren't you thankful for that? By the way, what's happened here in the last 5 weeks, church, was an answer to prayer and was a victory that God's given our young church. I mean, listen, anytime I tell you about the things that are going on, I want you to know something. I'm not telling you to brag on me. I'm not even telling these things to brag on you. I'm telling you these things to brag on God. Amen? And remember something. The most dangerous place for a person to stand is between God and His glory. Don't ever stand between God and His glory. Always deflect the glory and praise back to Him. But what God's done here in the last few weeks, folks, has been amazing and has been victorious. These are things we've prayed for. These are things we've worked for. We've seen in the last 5 weeks, we've seen five people trust Christ as Savior, nine folks baptized, and we've seen about 40 first-time visitors, amen, in the last 5 weeks. Listen, we've seen God working in the hearts of people. Today, by the grace of God, we broke our previous attendance record. By the way, our previous one was just broken 4 weeks ago. All right, we had 89, and we broke that previous record of 70. Well, the Lord allows us to break it today by one, amen? And we had 90 here today. Man, praise the Lord for that. And just it's on and on we could talk about the great victories God has allowed our church to see, amen? Yet we see in our story, after the victory, a great tragedy occurred to Israel, okay? You see, when God told them to go into Jericho, He gave them some explicit instructions. He said, listen, okay, when you go into this town, go into this city, I don't want you to take anything for yourselves. Okay? I want you to go in, I want you to destroy everything, and I don't want you to keep any of the spoil. By the way, you know why God did not want them to take any of the spoil from the city? Because it was the first one. You know what He's teaching us there? Is that the first belong to God. Amen? The first fruits belong to Him. And again, you know me, I'm not a preacher. It's always talking about money. But from time to time, I'll just remind you the fact, folks, listen, the tithe belongs to God. Amen? It's His. All right? And so when you are paying a tithe, you're really just giving God what's His anyway. Amen? And so don't rob God of what's His. So God said, don't take anything from the city. But the problem was there was one man whose name was Achan. And Achan, as we read in our story here, instead of obeying God, he decided to disobey God, and he took us some things from that. Well, because of that, you know what happened? Israel experienced a great defeat. Okay, and we'll talk more in detail about it in just a moment. And so tonight, I want to bring this message to you so that you know what? We can learn from the defeat that Israel experienced after a great victory. And listen, I don't want us to experience as a church any defeats after our victory. Okay? But if we're not careful, we'll follow the mindset that Achan and Israel fell into, and we may, because for reasons we'll look at tonight, we may have some defeats. Now listen, God's plan was not for them to have a defeat after Jericho. That was not God's plan. But because they disobeyed what God had for them, there was some defeat. So tonight's just kind of a message of warning, if you will. Kind of taking a shot across the bow for us to just be careful in some areas, because you know what? We've just experienced a Jericho-type experience, amen? We've just seen God do some great things for us. And so listen, there's still some things God wants to do. And I'll be honest with you, I don't want to experience any type of defeat, all right? You know me, I don't like to lose, all right? And I have a problem with people who are okay with losing. Listen, I'm not okay with losing. I hate to lose. Now, occasionally, you can't win at everything. I get it. I understand it. But you know what? It ought to bother you when you lose, all right? Especially in your Christian life, amen? Listen, folks, the Christian life, listen, we're playing for keeps, amen? And we're not really playing. I mean, it's a real thing, all right? The souls of mankind are real, and it's a real thing we're going for. And so, listen, it's a big deal when we lose for the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to give you some things tonight that'll help you. Three simple principles, some words of caution, and so that we can keep experiencing victories, all right? So let me just give you three simple things tonight. Number one, make sure that a victory doesn't cause us to lose focus on the one who gave us the victory. Okay, let me say that again. Make sure a victory doesn't cause us to lose focus on the one who gave us the victory. All right, look at verse 3 there in chapter 7. After Jericho, they went and spied the next town, Ai. And here's what the people said. Let not all the people go up. Let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but a few. Listen, you know what they're saying here? They're saying, Joshua, look what we just pulled off. Look what we just did. We don't even need to take the whole army. We'll just take a portion of the army. This town's a piece of cake, and we're just going to go do it this way. By the way, you start figuring it out, that's not God's plan. They decided, you know what? We won that victory. Look what God used us to accomplish. So instead of focusing on what God told them to do and focusing on the one who gave them the victory, they decided to come up with their own plan. And let me show you why we know that wasn't God's will for them. Go flip over to chapter 8 and look at verse 1. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Listen to this next phrase. Take all the people of war with thee and arise and go up to Ai. See, I have given it into thy hand, the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. So God's plan for them was for all of them to go up. But instead of focusing on God's command, they decided to focus on their own plan. Okay? Now listen, folks, I think it's all right for us to make plans. I think it's all right for us to, map out certain things. But let me say this, we better make sure we do it according to the will of God. Because here's the thing, if we do something that's outside of Scripture, outside of God's will, we can't expect God to bless it. Amen? And we must always, as a church, focus on the one who gives us the victory. Now, no doubt it's God's plan for us to work in the harvest fields for souls. Amen? It's part of it. That's what we're supposed to do. But we must never think the reason that God blesses us is solely because of us. Okay? Because let me tell you something, folks. If you think for one second God looks down at us and thinks, yeah, I'm going to bless them because they're so holy and righteous, you got another thing coming, folks. Now, I'm not saying we ought to not try to live holy and righteous lives. We ought to. The Scripture teaches that. We ought to do the best we can to stay as clean as we can before our God. But I'm just telling you, God doesn't bless us because of us. All right? God blesses us because of His faithfulness and His honoring His Word. You know the truth of the matter is, without God involved, nothing good can or ever will happen unless God's involved. John chapter 15, you don't have to flip over there, but let me read some verses to you what Christ said. Here's what Jesus said. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Listen to what he says here. For without me, ye can't do nothing. That's what he says. He says, you better not think for one second that you're going to go out on your own and accomplish a spiritual work for me. Amen? Listen, you can't do it absent from me. You got to have me involved to help. Let me just say this. One thing I want to keep the focus on this church is that we need the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That's why we make prayer a priority around here. You know what prayer is? You know why we had a prayer meeting the last four weeks on a Saturday night before Sunday? Because we want God to know, God, we need your help in doing what you called us to do. Amen? I can't do this thing without Him, folks. And you know what? Neither can you. We need God's help. And if we're going to accomplish the vision, the plan that God has for this church, we better have Him. Amen? And we better not think for one second that we can do it without Him. And that's what happened to Israel. All of a sudden they had a great victory. They got so focused on the victory, they lost focus on the One who gave them the victory. Now I'm thankful for the victories God's given us, amen? I'm thankful for all the good things God allows to see us to happen, but let's not for one second think we can just let off. We can take a break. We can take a vacation from God for a while. Do not do that, amen? If you live your life like that, you're setting yourself up for defeat, amen? So we can never do anything without Him. So let's not lose sight of the One who gave us the victory, all right? Number two, I want to show you something else here. Make sure the victory doesn't cause us to lose focus on what we're supposed to be doing. Okay? And I know sometimes a victory is exciting. And and by the way, there's nothing wrong with taking time to rejoice in the victory. That's what we're doing. We're praising the Lord for it. I mean, listen, a lot of work went into what happened the last 5 weeks, and I want to spend some time rejoicing about it. Amen? But here's the thing. We can't get so focused on one victory that we neglect the things God wants us to continue to do. Back in Joshua chapter 7, we see here that it talks about, again, Ai, verse 1, talks about the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. What happened here? This man named Achan, he lost focus on what he was supposed to be doing. He was supposed to be going in there and fighting battles. He was supposed to be going in there and making sure that God's plan was followed. But instead of focusing on the battle, instead of focusing on the enemy, he started looking around a little bit. He started noticing the gold. He started noticing the nice clothes that he wanted. He started noticing all the monetary things. And his coveter got going. He started coveting. He started thinking about these things. And he lost focus on what he was supposed to be doing. Now listen to me, as the Church of Jesus Christ, we cannot lose sight of what we're supposed to be doing here. Amen? Let's not let one victory make us think that just because we saw God do some great things for us, that now we can just say, well, God, I tell you what, thanks for doing it, but I'm just going to, for a while, take a break, and I'm just going to start doing it the way I want to do it. Please, for one, do not do that in your life. Amen? Don't think for one second you can take a break, you can take a vacation from obeying the Lord and doing what God wants you to do. No, don't have that mindset. That's what the devil wants you to think. Amen? By the way, you know what? Just as Israel, Jericho was the first, okay? It wasn't the end. It wasn't even the middle. There was a whole huge land that needed to be conquered. And it was the very first victory. And God said, yes, take a little bit of time. Catch your breath a little bit. But you know what? You got to keep on. You got to keep fighting on. Let me just say this, church. There's a lot more victories that need to be fought, amen, that need to be won. There's a lot more battles that need to be fought. Hey, listen, if you think for one second that we've done our job here and now we can just put it on cruise control and just wait till Jesus comes, that's not what the Church of Jesus Christ is supposed to be about. Now, I'm thankful for the folks in the last 20 months of our church history, including those that were saved today. We've seen 63 people accept Jesus Christ as Savior. Amen? Praise God for that. We've seen 20 folks following believers' baptism. We got about 5 more right now lined up for baptism. Hey, I'm thankful for that, but if you think that God put us here just to see 63 folks saved, listen, there's a whole lot more people out there that need the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a whole lot more people out there who are hurting. There's a whole lot more people out there who need what, you know what, they can find in this church at White River. Amen? So listen, there's still battles that need to be won. There's still more land that needs to be conquered. So we cannot lose focus on what we're supposed to be doing. Amen? There's battles. There's the battle of standing up for right. By the way, the darker this world gets, the harder it's going to be to stand. And I think I mentioned this the other night. But already, in the state of California, there's legislation trying to be passed to ban the Bible. Okay? And the reason they're doing that, it's fallen under the guise, because they're trying to outlaw any type of curriculum, any type of teaching that would try to let somebody basically teach against homosexuality and this wicked transgenderism garbage. And because the Bible teaches about what the Bible, the morality and human sexuality, that supposedly falls under that ban. Let me tell you something. The closer we get to this thing being over, the more things like that are going to happen. Okay? There was a magazine this last week, GQ magazine. They came out and basically mocking and blasting the Bible, talking about how it was such an archaic book and it's not relevant anymore and nobody really needs to read it, and basically implying the fact that if you read the Bible, then you're basically an idiot. And they're publishing this garbage. Now listen, I know that's what the world does. All I'm saying is, listen, we're going to have to stand and fight for some things. Amen? You know what our forefathers fought? Okay, our Christian forefathers fought. Our American forefathers fought. You know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to fight. Amen? And by the way, you know what? That's what God wants us to do. Remember what we've been talking about? Having a warrior's mentality? If you're going to be a successful Christian, you better, listen, it's not a recreation room, it's a battlefield, amen? You better suit up with the Christian armor, and you better be ready to go to war, amen? So there's still battles that need to be fought. Listen, there's the battle of standing up for right. There's the battle of following God's will. There's the battle of trying to reach souls for Jesus Christ. Listen, man, you know what? If I'm going down, all right, I want to go down fighting, amen? Okay, that's how I want to go down. I would rather die on the battlefield than die from sitting in a recliner. Okay? And I'm talking about spiritually, by the way. Fighting for the Lord. And I'm not implying the fact that if your health doesn't allow you to do certain things that you can't be involved. You know that being a prayer warrior is such a huge thing in the spiritual realm. We've talked about that quite a bit a lot lately. Prayer. Prayer is so important for Christians to do. You may not have the health to get out and do what I can do and some other folks can do, but I'll tell you right now, if you're breathing, you can pray. Let me tell you, we need prayer warriors that are calling this church and the people of this church up to God. We need people that are willing to go enter the spirit realm through prayer and bind and loose the spirits that are holding this town bondage. Amen? All right? There's battles. What I'm saying, we can't lose focus. One victory can allow us to lose focus on what we're supposed to be doing. And then let me give you the last thing tonight. Number three, make sure the victory doesn't cause us to lose our concern for other people. You know, if we're not careful, selfishness can often follow a great victory. Here's the mentality that comes along. Well, I've done what God wanted me to do now, so now I'm just going to do what I want to do. I mean, after all the work I put on, surely I deserve it. And you know what we do? We lose our focus on the fact that we're supposed to be here for other people. Think about this for a minute. Achan's concern for himself cost a whole lot of people their lives and their futures. Okay, in the text I read to you, when they went to Ai to fight against it the first time, and because of Achan's sin and the people disobeyed God because they didn't send everybody to battle, you realize 36 men died that shouldn't have died? That meant 36 families lost a husband. That meant there were 36 families that had orphans in them. Because one man decided he was going to focus on himself instead of focusing on what he was supposed to do. All right? He got selfish. He looked at himself. Not only that, if we go through and read all of chapter 7, and we won't do that, by the time this thing came to the end and God exposed Achan's sin and they dealt with Achan's sin because of what he did, it didn't just cost Achan his life, but it also cost the life of his family also. And his sin had a huge price tag attached. You know why? Because he was concerned about himself instead of being concerned for others. Let me tell you something, folks. You know what? We have a responsibility to the people we're trying to reach to not get focused on ourselves. Okay? Let me tell you why people are drawn to this church. Okay? Well, they're drawn here because the Lord's here. Amen? But they're drawn here because they sense that it's a place where they're loved and they're cared for. Okay? Let me tell you what people don't want, what type of church they don't want. They don't want to walk in the door of a church and, you know what, people just kind of go by and look at them and give them a holy grunt. Okay? And God forbid a visitor sits in your seat. Oh, my goodness. I mean, the ceiling's going to fall in if that happens. I mean, come on, folks, listen. People want to know that they're loved and cared for. Okay? That motto that's out there in that church sign, that's just not some cute thing I put on there to fill up space. Okay? A church with a heart for people. That's what we're trying to do in this community. There's a lot of hurting people in this community. You know that? I mean, I've mentioned this to you before, and I couldn't believe this until I actually got in the community and started talking to people and started meeting people and hearing things. But there is an unusual amount of people that commit suicide in this town, in this community. And folks, listen, people are hurting. You know what they need? They need someone to care for them. They need someone to show them the love of Christ. As I mentioned before, we don't make anybody believe anything, all right? But we ought to at least be busy about being compassionate and trying to help people, all right? And we can't allow what God's done here, the great victory He's given us, thank God for that, to lose, help for it to cause us to lose our concern for other people, all right? We got to remember what this thing's about, folks. It's not about us. It's not about what we want. It's about what He wants for our lives. In fact, the Scripture gives us some guidelines. The mindset we ought to have as a church of Jesus, as a church of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 20, Jesus said this, "But whosoever will be great among you," by the way, we all like that, right? We all like thinking we're great. We all want to be great. I mean, you know, let's be honest with you, all right? There's nothing, you know, that's human nature, right? Okay? "Now whosoever will be great among you," here's what Jesus said, "let him be your minister." Okay? "Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many." By the way, Jesus didn't ask us to do anything He wasn't willing to do. I kind of remember a story there in the upper room when He last met with His disciples. And I kind of remember Jesus getting out the towel, getting out the water, and washing His disciples' feet. By the way, we're talking about the Son of God. We're talking about the Creator of the universe. I mean, if anything, they should have been doing that to Him. But you know what He was trying to set as an example? Listen, I'm not, even though I'm God, listen, I'm not too big, too great to minister to other people. And you know what? That's what He's called us to do. Amen? To minister. Well, I've heard some people say, "Well, I just feel like I'm being used." Well, isn't that what we want? God to use us? Okay? Isn't that what God wants to do, to be used of God? We pray that, but sometimes when God puts us in a position to be used, we start getting, our pride starts rising up a little bit. You know, there's nothing in the service of God that any of us ought to think we're too big to do. You know that? I mean, there's nothing. I mean, folks, listen, if the Lord would want you to go scrub a toilet, you ought to be willing to scrub a toilet. I mean, I can't even tell you the things that when I first started working at the Christian school, the nasty jobs I had to do. I mean, I was the teacher, I was the principal, I was the youth pastor, I was the assistant pastor, I was the janitor. I mean, folks, stools will get clogged up. Guess who the guy that fixed them was? I have put rubber gloves on and done some nasty, nasty things, amen? But at least I put rubber gloves on, okay? Listen, hey, God was teaching me something. You know, I've cleaned the church before, okay? And now, when I was a kid, as a teenager, it was my job to clean the church. I mean, listen, there should be no job in our minds that we think we're too good to do. Oh, I'm too good to do that. No, no! We must never forget that, folks. We're to reach down and help folks. We're to be a minister. We're to be a servant to people. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Again, God helps us understand what our mindset ought to be. "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." Jude chapter 1, the only chapter in Jude, verse 22. "And some have compassion, making a difference." You know how God wants us to be, how He wants us to serve? With compassion. Having compassion on people. I mean, folks, that's what missions is about. That's what going out in our community and trying to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ is about. I understand. I mean, there's, you know, you can't, on the other hand, let people take advantage of you. I mean, you know, we're not around here. I mean, we can't, you know, pay everybody's bills. I understand all that. But as God gives us opportunities, we ought to have a heart of compassion to be willing to help people. I wouldn't give you a dime for a person who called themselves a Christian and acted like the stinking Pharisee crowd to the Samaritan that was laying alongside the road. That's not what Christians ought to be like. Come on, folks, what's the Scripture tell us we ought to be? And the problem is sometimes we get so focused on something that we forget the fact that God has put us here to help other people. Amen? Hey, we need to have compassion. We need to make a difference. I'm glad for victories, but never let a victory cause us to lose our concern for other people. Amen? So, hey, as a church, let me just give you these words of advice as we continue to go on and serve the Lord. Let's keep our focus on the One who gave us the victory. All right? Just stay focused on Him, folks. Okay? Stay focused on Christ. I mean, hey, I don't know about y'all. I did a lot of praying this week. I mean, I was praying. I mean, that situation with my dad, I was praying. I was praying for God to let us have a good day. Do you think I need to pray less tomorrow than I did the last previous 2 days? No. I still need to pray the same. Amen? All right? I mean, stay focused on the One who gave us the victory. All right? Hey, don't lose focus on what we're supposed to be doing. All right? We're supposed to be reaching people. We're supposed to be helping people. Let's not lose our concern for others. Amen? And the problem is when a church starts getting focused on the internal instead of the external, they cease being what God wanted them to be. Okay? Now, it's not wrong to make sure that things are taken care of. But listen, folks, we're trying to raise money for our new building. And, you know, we're trying to be good stewards of what God does for us. But what good does it for our church if we had $1 million in the bank, but we never supported a missionary? What's the purpose of that? Okay, now it's not wrong to save money. Money's a tool God gives us. We got to use some of that, amen? And we are. We're saving money for our new building, and we got to be smart and a good steward of our finances. But listen, folks, I'm not interested in just staying on the internal focus of our church. We got to get out there and reach people. I mean, do you believe Jesus is coming soon? Man, I sure do. Look how crazy this world's getting, all right? And I want to do everything I can to reach as many people as I can until that trumpet sounds, all right? And so praise the Lord for what He's done for us and what I believe He's going to continue to do for us. But let's make sure we keep our focus right. Let's